The Birth of a Big Idea.
It was the year 2000, and I felt that everything was going my way. My advertising and branding firm was doing well. We were picking up profitable business and doing great work. My family was healthy and happy, and my marriage was strong. Also, my first book, Brain Darts, had just been published, and even before it came out, I had received an invitation to have a book signing at one of the most prestigious design conferences in the country. As I said, everything was going my way. The day before the conference, my family and I checked into our Chicago hotel, and after getting the kids settled in our room, my wife and I went down to the opening dinner. When we got to the giant banquet hall, we were greeted like returning war heroes. The publisher of the design magazine sponsoring the event rushed over and escorted us to the VIP table all the way in the front of the hall, and I sat next to Steph Sagmeister. I don't know if you know Steph, but that year he was the it boy graphic designer. You know, just like Hollywood, the design industry has its it boys and girls. And that year, Steph, a tall, very handsome German guy dressed all in black, was it. Because Steph was German, he spoke English better than I do, but he had managed to keep just enough of his accent to be charming. It turned out Steph, like me, had just released a design book, and we were going to do our book signings together. But it gets better. Seated on my other side, right next to my wife, was the chief marketing officer of one of the most design-forward corporations in the country, a major U.S. company that you'd instantly recognize if I told you the name, and a potential client I had lusted after for a long time. So, of course, I figured that after I finished my book signing and met all my new fans, I'd get the opportunity to pitch my firm to this guy and maybe get some work from his company. Wow, life was good. The next morning, I got up early and went downstairs to arrange everything just so. Estimating that I'd be signing a lot of books, I had brought a box of Sharpies, and I wanted all the books lined up neatly and within close reach to make it as easy as possible to satisfy the hordes of fans I knew would be rushing down to get their autographed copies. After I'd arranged everything just the way I like it, I went for a run in the blustery Chicago morning. Even the cold wind blowing off the lake couldn't diminish my excitement, and I ran a bit faster and farther than usual. Returning to the hotel with a tray of Starbucks coffee and scones for my family, I took a nice warm shower and got dressed. When it was time to head down to the book signing, my 6-year-old daughter Allie asked if she could go with me. My day was shaping up beautifully. The elevator doors slid open. Allie took my hand, and we walked out to find a long line of people standing outside the expo hall, waiting for it to open and let them in for the book signing. Allie looked up at me and asked if all these people were waiting in line for my book. Sensing a teaching moment and not wanting to sound quite as full of myself as I felt, I told her that I was sure some of the people were in line for Steph's book, too. My daughter and I walked hand in hand past the line and into the expo center, where the line snaked around the trade show booths to the roped-off book signing tables all the way at the back of the room. We finally got to the end and turned the corner, only to find that the entire line led to Steph's booth. There wasn't a single person waiting at mine. Not one. I walked behind the table and sat down, careful not to make eye contact with anyone standing in Steph's line. Allie busied herself drawing pictures with my exquisitely laid out Sharpies, while I tried in vain to use the Vulcan mind meld to will people to come up to my booth. Every so often, I would catch someone's eye, and that person would either look away quickly or give me what we in Miami call the pero que pobrecito look, which, for those of you who don't speak Spanish, translates roughly to, you poor thing. It was a look of shame and pity mixed with a little embarrassment. I didn't think I could feel any worse than I did at that moment. But I was wrong. Because just then, my 6-year-old decided to take matters into her own hands. Allie jumped up from her folding chair, darted under the table, and popped out on the other side, running up to people in line, grabbing them by the hand and saying, "Why don't you come look at my daddy's book? It's really good." If I was getting que pobrecito looks before, hostile glares were now saying, "Get this little girl off me." I didn't think I could feel any worse than I did at that moment. But I was wrong again, because just then my beautiful wife came walking up, and she wasn't alone. You see, it turned out that she'd run into the great big famous potential client at the breakfast buffet and convinced him to come with her to my triumphant book signing, promising him a free copy and the opportunity to talk to her brilliant designer superstar husband about his company's latest design project. She'd even told him they probably wouldn't have to wait in line. Little did she know how very right she was about the waiting in line thing. My wife and my potential dream client stood there dumbfounded, while I sat behind my piles of books and pens, watching my daughter trying to drag reluctant people over to my booth. By this time, Steph had sold all of his books and was posing for photos with the hordes of grinning fans who had gotten one of his precious signed volumes. At that moment, I was too dejected and stunned to understand what had just happened. But I spent the next 2 years thinking about it and trying to figure out how to make sure that it never happened again. My experience that day, and everything I've learned over subsequent days and years, has helped me build a vibrant brand and a robust business. And that's what I want to share with you in this book. Because my Road to Damascus moment, experienced in the back of an expo hall in some hotel in Chicago, taught me the most important thing I know about how to get ahead in business and life. Let me share a few more details I didn't think were important at the time, but became more and more vital the more I thought about the situation. Remember how I told you that Steph and I were both invited to the conference before our books were released? This meant that the people waiting in line had never seen the contents of either my book or Steph's, except for perhaps having glimpsed the odd article in some obscure design magazine. No one knew anything about either volume. They were queuing up to buy our products sight unseen. To make matters worse, our big, beautiful coffee table books were tightly bound in clear shrink-wrap plastic. The people waiting in line couldn't have looked inside if they wanted to. Even putting a few unwrapped books on the tables wouldn't have helped, because Steph's line was too long to tolerate anyone standing there leisurely paging through his or my work. Talk about not judging a book by its cover. The covers really were the only input the people waiting in line had to guide their decision. But the difference between our two books, besides the cover designs, was that Steph's was written by a known quantity, a celebrity even, and my book was written by a nobody. You see, I figured out years later that not one person at that design conference on that dreary day in Chicago was buying either one of our books because of their contents. They were buying a little piece of Steph. They most certainly were not buying a little bit of me. After all, I was a good designer, but Steph was a good designer with a strong brand and strong brand recognition, and that made all the difference in the world. This simple little point, this seemingly obvious observation, was the bolt of lightning that changed how I looked at marketing and business, and now informs how I market myself and run my own business. More, this little insight led to a comprehensive marketing strategy that ultimately led to my books and my blog, as well as my weekly appearances on national TV and the opportunities those activities have created for me. The obvious takeaway would be that Steph sold more books simply because he knew who he was. In other words, the known quantity was a more compelling and comfortable purchase than the unknown one. But if that were all it took to succeed, then building a powerful brand and selling a greater number of products would be easy to accomplish through simple awareness. Study retail sales, however, and you'll see that this conclusion is incorrect. History is littered with the overabundant carcasses of well-known products that did not sell, effective politicians who didn't get elected, popular bands that fell out of favor, and once ubiquitous companies that no longer exist. Sure, some products are relegated to the dust heap of irrelevance simply because they don't matter anymore. When was the last time you bought a buggy whip, an 8-track cassette player, a typewriter, or an 8mm film projector? How about a calculator, a waterbed, or an inkwell? These products no longer exist, or exist only as oddities, because technology has given us better tools to accomplish their same tasks. But plenty of brands that actually functioned as well as or better than the industry leader also wound up out of business. The VHS format outsold Betamax, even though experts all agree that the latter format was superior. Friendster gave way to MySpace, which in turn gave way to Facebook. And who's to say that by the time you are holding this volume, Facebook won't have been outpaced by its replacement too? Does this suggest that my book was actually better than Steph's? Although I had no idea at the time, remember that Steph's book was wrapped in plastic and I couldn't see inside, I do have to admit that once I got a chance to read his work, I saw that Steph had done a better job than I had. His book was spectacular. But at the time, that was an irrelevant distinction and an unknowable difference. Neither volume was available for inspection by anyone waiting in line for a signature. So if it was not simply a matter of awareness, that is, if it wasn't just that Steph was better known, and it wasn't only a matter of quality, what helped Steph's books fly off the shelves while mine lingered? What secret explains what happened? And more importantly, what discernible difference can you harness to build your business, improve your career, increase your sales, charge more for your products, and build your revenue? For those looking to boost their personal brands and see their businesses flourish, All About Them answers those questions.